What makes you illumined in life? This is Dr. Herbert O. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, with the Instant Illumination. What makes you illumined in life? Write it down. What makes you illumined in life? I want it. What makes you illumined in life? It's nice to be giving a talk, to have your talk be rather, you know, consistent along with your title and things like that. It's one thing to be having a conversation. It's one thing to be giving a monologue. Another thing to be giving a talk. A talk has a topic to it. And it's another thing to be, thank you, it's another thing to be giving a lecture, because a lecture has a group of themes, of a flowing continuity to it. Well, I give lectures, I give talks, I give monologues quite often, especially when I'm not giving a talk or a lecture. And when we're with a group of people sharing ideas, that's a conversation, and usually in the conversation I end up saying what I've got on my mind, but I listen to everybody else too. Now, what makes you illumined in life? What gives you the opportunity to be able to speak? What gives you the opportunity to be able to speak, just to be able to say what's on your mind? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought about where that wisdom comes from? You know? Now, Seville gets up in front of her group, and as she does this, they're all friends and neighbors and people that she has known for a long time, and some are new. And as she gets up there, she knows the background on these people, and she knows what attitude they have toward her and toward whatever she's doing, and she knows all these things. Well, Sybille has a special illumination that overtakes her. And that illumination is called living now. Living in the now, or living now. And Sybille doesn't let any previous information about the people who are around her have any effect on her. She doesn't let any of their background, any of their attitudes, any of their desires, any of their dreams, any of their things have any impact upon what she's going to say. Sybille stands before her people and with a blink of her eye, and it's a blink of her eye, just a flash, a blink of her eye, she has given herself a self-meditation which says, I am illumined to share with these people that which is the most significant thing in my heart right now. See, it's what's in her heart, not what they want to hear. Because they want to hear what she has to say, because she is an illumined person, because she listens to her inner illumination before she speaks. Now, what makes you illumined in life? What makes her illumined? What gives her that special quality that makes people want to listen to her? Well, would you believe it? What gives her the special quality of having other people want to listen to her is that she wants to listen to herself. She enjoys listening to what she has to say, because she hasn't got the slightest idea what she's going to say when she starts speaking. She just lets herself be an open vessel and lets the divine illumination, the divine inspiration, the divine awareness flow through her and reveal itself through her, and then she speaks. Any illumined speaker is a speaker that is creative and enjoyable. Anytime you don't enjoy a speaker, you can be sure that that speaker is trying to manipulate, motivate, or in some way control you. Anytime you don't enjoy someone, anyone who's in a conversation and trying to take over the conversation, you can be sure of one thing. They're going to say things that are not harmonious with you. So whenever you're in a situation where people are a little takeoverish and you realize that that's not your thing, you immediately blink your eye, you know, and go into your inner self and say, I am the master here. The conversation here is exactly what I choose to have it be. The conversation is exactly what I choose to have it be about. The conversation is exactly in the direction that I choose it to go. Now, say, my gosh, how you can't do things like that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You're in a group of people, and the conversation is in 100 different directions. And then you decide, I'm going to have this conversation go along the path of a spiritual awareness thing. And I'm going to really get this thing moving. And so you quietly say to the person next to you, you say, can you give me this answer? Can you tell me where that this divine mind comes from, where the allness comes from, where all knowledge comes from? It seems kind of elusive. It seems sort of, you know, like it's like somebody just made that up. And do you think that there really is an intelligence that sort of helps us and guides us and directs us and is for us to use? And your friend is a little bit slow and doesn't respond quickly. So you speak to your friend a little more affirmatively and a little louder to your friend, not trying to bring anybody else in. You believe that there is a wisdom in this universe that guides everything. You believe that? Man, that's great. You are really a magic person. And the person didn't say that at all. The person didn't think that at all. But when you start calling that person a magic person and a genius and so forth, that person is going to agree with you right away. And that person is going to say, yes, that's true, and loudly and clearly. And pretty soon, all the attention is going to be directed toward you. And all the attention is going to be on whatever topic you have introduced. And you say, well, that's manipulating. Sure, it's manipulating. It's manipulating and creating your world exactly the way you want it to be. Now, where did you get the illumination to create it like that? Where did you get the illumination to bring up a topic that might be something to get other people's attention? Because that's what you believe. That's what you think. That's where you're going. You know, none of you have met this woman from London called Christy. Well, Christy is quite an experience. You get in Christy's car and you're in Christy's world. And she turns on her engine and it turns on her tape recorder player. And who do you hear but Herb? Herb is speaking all about positive thinking and positive living and things like that. And no conversation is allowed in the car except Herb's conversation on the tape. And everybody who gets in that car knows they're going to have to shut up for a little while. And then when the tape is over and it starts to shift to the next tape, if somebody usually jumps in into the conversation, oh, yes, and when we go there, and then the talk begins and they have to quiet down. Because number one is speaking, whoever the number one be. It could be yourself. But number one is speaking, and that's what you're listening to. And that's what you're paying attention to. So that's rather controlling the environment. And what makes you an illumined person in life is that you are the master. All the time the master. All the time you are creating around you perfect people doing perfect things in a perfect way. And all the time you are the one who determines what is going to happen in your life. You determine what the illumination is going to be, you know? All Hank has to do over there, he sits over there and he says, well, they're talking about barnyards and they're talking about cows and stuff, and that doesn't interest me too much. And so Hank says, hey, do you see what I see? And we think to ourselves, what's he talking about? And do you see what I see? And he doesn't sing very well, but he tries, you know. And so we listen to him, and then we say, do you see what I, what are you looking at? You know, and then he looks out, and he looks at the bird feeder there. And he looks at the hummingbirds. He said, do you know that every one of those hummingbirds is beating their wings an infinite number of times a minute, perhaps even a second? And they stand still in the air, and all that energy that they're using doesn't use up all the energy they take in from the nectar of the flowers or from the feeder out here. And do you notice how colorful they are? The female is dull, so that she doesn't attract attention to herself. You know? The male is brilliant. He has the most beautiful coloring because he has to attract one of the females to him. And he has to select her and make sure that she stays with him and knows his color and knows his vibrations. You know, people are like that. People are trying to figure out who they are. And the women go around trying to attract attention when really all they have to do is just be themselves and have fun, and all the males will flock to them. But no, they want to go out and chase, and they want to go out and look, and they want to go out and look in places that they don't really want to go. Now, can you imagine a female hummingbird who likes certain flowers to go in a field of not those certain flowers? What flowers does the hummingbird go into, Sylvia? What flowers does the hummingbird like? Schnell. All right, the manzanita bush.
Oh, yeah, manzanita.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your help.
You're welcome.
Cecilia goes into, the hummingbird goes into the manzanita bush and loves the fragrance of the manzanita bush. Well, along comes a flock of daisies, and they're just a beautiful field of daisies. They're just hundreds of thousands of daisies, and the hummingbirds ignore them. They ignore the daisies because the amount of honey and the type of honey that comes from them is not to their liking. It's to the liking of the bees, but not to the hummingbird. Now, if you are a being and you want to attract other beings to you who are of your same interest, then you're not going to go in a field of clover or in a field of beautiful flowers that are not your type of flowers. You're going to go into the manzanita tree, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go into the flowers, and then who's going to be in that manzanita tree? Who's going to be flying around it, hustling around it? All the attractive men of the hummingbird clan. And how are you going to get to meet them? Well, you just hover over a flower, and then one of these bold young bucks comes along, and he flies in there, and he sees you hovering over the flower, and he says, go to it, babe. I'll make sure nobody bothers you. And so you can go in, and you can drink the honey from that flower, the manzanita tree, and here's this beautiful male hummingbird hovering around you, protecting you and taking care of you. And you think to yourself, oh, he's not bad. But I really like that one that's green more than this one that's red here. And so she goes over to the one that's green, and she hovers around it. And he says, get lost, babe. I got three of them right here that I'm with. And you see, but how do you attract these things? What makes you illumined in life? What makes you to know what is the right thing for you to do, whether you're a hummingbird or a human being? Well, you just listen within. Now, do you want to be a hummingbird that has one male and you are three females with one male? Or do you want to be a hummingbird that has one male exclusively yours, exclusively taking care of your needs and your interests and you? Sounds like that'd be fun. Some people are gregarious and they like to have the group plan, you know. And so hummingbirds can be both ways, monogamous and group. And so, if you choose, how are you going to get to have one hummingbird be satisfied with just you? How are you going to do it? Anyone got the answer on the tip of their tongue? Be yourself and have fun. Exactly. If you are a hummingbird being yourself and having fun, do you know all the hummingbirds will come over and say, hey, this gal's got gusto in her. She's got Jazz, she's super. Hey, let's get to know this girl here, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you say, this is the man I'm interested in, you know. And you can make your choice. See? You're not having to worry about who's going to choose you. You choose. Because you know how to play the game. And you know how to enjoy. You know how to be illumined in life by listening within and following it. Now, do you think hummingbirds do that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. Do you think rabbits and dogs and cats and all sorts of animals do that? Oh, yeah. Do you think the orangutans do that, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, everybody in life does that. Now, what does a master do? A master is a master of themselves. They are being themselves and having fun. But they have created around them a charisma that is so beautiful, so dominant, dynamic, and powerful that everyone who comes into that charisma wants to be associated with them, wants to be near them. Just like the crowds came to Jesus, or the crowds came to the Buddha, the crowds came to any of the philosophers and any of the great teachers, and the crowds came to the singers, the rock singers, and the other things that go on in the music world, you know. And what are the crowds? Why are the crowds there? They like their charisma. It's certainly not that they like the music they're playing, because the music they're playing is pretty interesting sometimes, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But it's their charisma. Have you ever watched in some of these rock groups as they're playing perhaps on YouTube? You watch them, and how do the drummers play? Their eyes closed, they're just off in another world. And everybody is with them, and they're loving it, because they can't do that. They don't have the self-confidence. They don't have the illumination to go out and do that for themselves. But you do. You do. And you don't have to be contrary to any nature you have. All you have to do is be yourself and have fun. And when you're yourself and have fun, you'll create around yourself all the people in the world who like to be themselves and have fun. I create around me people who want to recognize that they're God. I create around me people who want to know that all is divine and all is good and all is beautiful. I create around me people who are always interested in everything that I have to say. I create around me people who love what I'm saying. And it works. It works because I love me. I only say things that make me happy. I only say things that I believe in. I only say things that is my philosophy. And I don't have to remember somebody else's philosophy. Because I really don't care what somebody else said. They say, well, Ernest Holmes said this, and Charles Fillmore said that. Hey, cool. But what do you say? Do you believe what they said? I mean, those guys are dead. Those guys are long gone. You believe what they said? Well, that's my philosophy, what they said. Well, then, say it. This is my philosophy. That sounds just like Ernest Holmes. That's just fine. That's just the way he wants it. He didn't teach his teaching to keep it secret. He taught his teaching to throw it out to the world and be open on the tap and fly with it. But don't mention my name. Don't say where it came from. Because the minute you say where it came from, you're a religious scientist, you're a Catholic, you're a Jew, you're a Buddhist, you know. That's what happens. The minute you say where it came from, that's it. We want to say how the Buddha did these things and how the Buddha was so wonderful. The Buddha was nothing more than a sharer of beautiful ideas. And he says, enjoy it, be it, have fun. He never even said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus said that. Buddha didn't say it. He said, what did the Buddha do when he found himself? He was with his followers, and they were trekking along. They were naked, and they were maybe a loincloth or something, maybe not. They had a begging bowl, but they were mendicant monk type people, and they were flagellating their body with sticks and stuff, trying to deny the body because the body was evil and not good. And then the Buddha he went into his meditation under the boa tree. You remember the story, of course. And as he went there, he meditated. And then a bolt of lightning struck him. Tow! Illumination struck him, and it said, "You know, Buddha, you are the silliest thing in the world. You're everything. You're everything. Every time you turn around, everything falls in place for you. Now, Buddha, or whatever they called him, his inner self, be yourself and have fun. Go out and party, party, party. Be yourself and have fun." And the Buddha, who had been flagellating himself and who had been starving himself, he went back to his friends and he said, "I have just been in Nirvana. I have just had the ultimate illumination. What is it? What is it? Tell us." "Well, first, let's go and get washed up and let's go and eat." "Eat? Yeah, let's go and party, because I've had my illumination." "Party?" And he said, no, we're into this flagellation, we're into this denial." And so he went alone. They didn't come with him. He went alone. And the world fell in love with him, the party boy, because he just loved who he was. And the woman says, "Hey man, you're cool. I got a chunk of land over here, you want to use it? Go ahead, it's all yours. Big..." What was it called? What park was it?
Deer Park.
Deer
Park.
It's called the Reindeer Park or Deer Park?
Deer Park.
Deer Park. Yeah. What was it called? Deer Park. It was just a name. And what did he do there? He just sat and meditated and had fun. And then he'd go out and get something to eat. And pretty soon he had a lot of people following him, and he let them go out and get something to eat. And he just sat there meditating, having a ball, doing his own thing. He didn't teach anything. We read that he taught things, but that's only because people said that he did. He didn't. All he did was to live what he believed. Now, are you going to do that? What makes you illumined in life? The Buddha had his stroke of genius that made him illumined. Jesus had his stroke of genius that made him illumined. Do you think Jesus knew what he did, what his purpose was before his baptism? No. He had no idea where he's going, what he's going to do. When he had his baptism, then the voice says, "Hey, cool guy, go do it." And then he went to do it. But what did he do? He was just going out and being a mendicant monk, flagellating his body and starving himself? No way. Jesus ate at the finest tables. He wore the seamless garb, the robe that was the finest that could be made. He did everything to be himself and have fun. And people just didn't recognize it. And he taught a philosophy, too, which was good. Ernest Holmes taught a philosophy, which is good. And Ernest Holmes didn't starve himself. Charles Fillmore didn't starve himself. He ate very well. He liked being a vegetarian, and he built a special vegetarian restaurant at Unity Village. And in that restaurant, they serve the finest vegetarian foods. I ate there for years. It's wonderful. And you see, these people who are the leaders, who are the ones who are the, as we would call them, illumined ones, what did they do? They went out and were themselves and had fun. Charles Fillmore's wife died. She was the mainspring behind the whole thing, and he was just helping her, but then he carried on. And she died of TB, remember? I think it was tuberculosis, wasn't it? And then later, Charles Fillmore had one leg shorter than the other. He couldn't figure out one longer or shorter, but anyhow. And so then he treated for that, and treated for that, and treated for that, and he died in his 90s, and just before he died, he had the healing. And the legs were equal length. He stretched them first. And they were. They were. He had his miracle. And of course, the miracle of the organization he started and founded and built up, and which is today still being quite nice, that wasn't his miracle. His miracle was himself. All the things that we do in an outward way is nothing. It's what we are in ourselves. People could read all about the organization we have here and think it's very wonderful and think it's very good. And they could think that, oh, look at Herb, look at what he's done or hasn't done, whatever. And what does it matter? What does every person that meets me say? Every person that meets me says, Herb, you're always being yourself and having fun. Yeah.
Sure.
My associates say that to me too, but that's true. I'm always being myself and having fun because I like to be myself and have fun. I like to get full of energy. I like to get full of spit and vinegar and really, or piss and vinegar. And I like to be doing all these things and having fun. Right, Ingor? Right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Well, you see, that's what life's all about.
That's
what life's all about. What makes you illumined in life?
Being myself and having fun.
I love you.
Love you too.
I love you.